Oh Lord, happy Friday, everyone. It is I, Andrew Dimitri, the Mistress of Pop Culture, here to bring you all things pop culture. I have four fabulous stories for you guys today. Not much of an intro because not much has since we last chatted, but I will say thus, a disclaimer before I start chatting. I am not recording my usual spot. I'm recording in my friend's apartment, so therefore you might hear typing, talking, chatting, or my lovely dog barking, which occasionally he dips in and out of the podcast, which is fabulous because you know what? Dogs have to say something. I'm not going to suppress my doggy's voice. And when people walk by, he gets really excited and rowdy. But that's okay because that's not going to stop me. And, I love to hear whenever my puppy has to say something. But aside from that, happy Friday, everybody. Hope everybody had a fabulous week. I myself had a very good week. I'm very, very tired. I am hosting my cousin for a couple of weeks as he explores LA. I can't believe tomorrow's Friday, though. This week has really sped on by, but that's what they say. Time flies when you're having fun. I've actually gone out every night this week, too, which is really different and really, you know, not my usual, you know, it is not an event on my day-to-day schedule. And I say schedule like that because that's how, you know, Bellatrix Lestrange says schedule in Harry Potter. But if you know, you know. If you don't know, then well, you don't know. But, so it's been a really great week. Really tired. I did some work all day. My dog is drinking water, and I just love the sound when he's sipping water because it means he's getting hydrated. It's also very cathartic and therapeutic. In fact, I maybe should record it one day and use it as like a way to fall asleep, but I don't think I'm going to do that because, well, it's way too much work, and I can't monitor every time he drinks. Plus, most of the time, he's staying at my BFF's apartment, which is great because it's a very dog-friendly building. But that's neither here nor there. What is here and there is the fact that I have four fabulous stories for you guys today, starting off with our iconic, fabulous Trinidadian princess who has been causing quite a stir in the news as of late with regards to everything with the vaccine and whatnot. And that is, of course, our fabulous Queen Nicki Minaj, who I love and is such an icon. I, you know, first started talking about what's going on with her, you know, pertaining to the Met Gala. Speaking of which, actually, I just saw this now. There's two things I want to talk about before I get into our first story of the day. First is there's this Vogue video on YouTube that Anna Wintour does discussing her favorite looks from past Met Galas. And it's iconic and it's fabulous. It's one of the more recent videos. So if you just type it in the YouTube and watch it, it's great. SJP is on the list. Rihanna's twice on the list. Liv Tyler's on the list. Blake Lively, icons. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was this YouTube series I've been watching weekly, which is Christy Carlson Romano's YouTube series, where she talks about, you know, her experience working with the Disney Channel and Even Stevens and movies and, you know, certain actors who she grew up with. So she put out a video this morning that, in the title of the video, is How I Lost The Princess Diaries to Anne Hathaway. And basically she goes on to say how she grew up in New York City and, you know, she auditioned against Anne Hathaway because they both are from New York or the East Coast. Actually, they're both from Connecticut, fun fact. But Christy was auditioning for Broadway shows in New York and Anne was as well. Anne was on a TV show. And so they auditioned each other and then Christy booked Even Stevens and Anne was in New York. But then The Princess Diaries, which is obviously produced by Disney. I promise I have a point to the story. I just like have to talk about it because I love her so much. And if you're like a Disney obsessed DCOM fan like I am, which is like the Disney Channel, you know, TV shows, then, you know. And I'm of the generation of Lizzie McGuire, Hannah Montana, Even Stevens, all those iconic shows. Not Dog with a Blog, though, even though Dog with a Blog did come later. Dog with a Blog is the same generation as Wizards of Waverly Place and Hannah Montana. And then that show Demi Lovato, Something with a Chance. But that wasn't my favorite show, but I did love Demi because it gave us Demi, which is fabulous. Anyways, I go on. I say all that to say, she basically heard about The Princess Diaries and really wanted to audition, but she couldn't get to the audition because she couldn't leave work. And then Anne Hathaway ended up getting it. And she knew Anne from before. So she was like, I could have had Anne Hathaway's incredible career, but what's meant to be is meant to be. And I'm meant to be where I am. And Anne Hathaway was meant to have this iconic career. It did sound like she was a little bit, shiesty about it. Salty. Oh, that's the right word. Salty. But like, wouldn't you be? I mean, I totally understand it. But like, she was on Even Stevens, which is an iconic show. So that is forever her identity. Just like, to me, Anne Hathaway's forever identity is Amelia Minuet Thermopolis, Princess of Genovia, or Andy Sachs from Devil Wears Prada. I mean, she's, the Grand High Witch and The Witches Do, which is iconic. But yeah, it's iconic, so it's a great video. So anyways, that's there. So, but aside from that, let's get into our first story of the day, because it's a whirlwind, and they talked about it on The View this morning, and I was just living for it. Well, yesterday morning, because today's Friday. Okay, this is from TMZ. Nicki Minaj, Trinidad health minister, rips her. White House again denies invite. Okay, well, I'll read the story to you, then we'll, you know, dissect and break it down. Nicki Minaj's tweet about her cousin's friends becoming impotent and getting swollen testicles has really blown up, to the point where she's getting cheated. I don't know what that means, C-H-I-D-E-D, both on American soil and beyond. Trinidad and Tobago Health Minister Terrence, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this last name, DEYALSINGH, Deya Slingil, blasted the rapper Wednesday, calling her claim about one person's alleged side effect of the COVID vaccine on the Caribbean island bogus. Ooh, the shade. The health minister said the reason it took his department a couple of days to respond is because they were looking for into Minaj's comments, adding, quote, unfortunately, we wasted so much time yesterday running down this false claim, end quote. As you know, Nikki's received major backlash ever since she tweeted about why she's hesitant to get vaccinated, which included the anecdote about her cousin's friend in Trinidad, which, by the way, Whoopi Goldberg was like, you know, she said this on Thursday, you know, if you hear about your cousin's friend, sister's aunt's grandmother's sister's friend, then you probably don't want to take that or believe that advice, which is really true. And this is also why Nicki Minaj, as I talked about in my last, well, two episodes ago, why she didn't attend the Met Gala, because they required proof of vaccination. Anyways, continuing in the article, it led to senior health officials like Dr. Fauci condemning her unscientific claim, but Nikki later claimed she was invited to the White House to speak with medical experts to get educated on the vax. However, a White House official later clarified that it did not extend an invite for Minaj to visit, but simply offered to hop on a phone call to discuss questions about the safety and effectiveness of the COVID vaccine after a tweet. See, things always, it's like the game of telephone. Things always, information always gets misled through word of mouth. Nikki has not taken too kindly to this clarification and responded with a 14-minute Instagram video claiming she was invited and suggesting she's being made out to look like a liar. What is that from? Liar! Oh, it's from Legally Blonde. You know, remember when Elle gets broken up with Warner and then she throws the box of chocolates at the TV when she's watching the soap opera? Iconic. Everything goes back to some type of cinematic classic. Anyways, for what it's worth, Nikki also claimed her Twitter account had been suspended, but the company denied taking any action against the account. Oh my gosh, Nicki Minaj is just like spinning the truth, or people are just like making her out to look like a fool. Like a fool, I say, like a fool. Anyways, there's been some updates. There's been two updates since this story. The first was from our queen, Jane Patsky, the, you know, White House correspondent speaker. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was just asked at her daily press briefing if the White House extended Nikki an invitation, as she claimed. Hold on one sec. Excuse me. I'm so sorry if that was piercing to the ears, but I had to clear my throat. Jen doubled down and said all they did was offer her a call so doctors could answer any questions she had about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine. She also added, quote, it was simply an offer to have a conversation. I have many thoughts about this. Chief among them, I love Nicki Minaj, first of all, so I'm going to say that. But chief among them, I and millions of others got the vaccine, and my testicles, this might be TMI, are fine. Are your testicles fine? Yes, I'm asking my friend who's sitting in the room with me. When we're both men, and we both got the vaccine. He got it before I did, because he was eligible before I did. But what Whoopi, or what the ladies, the viewer, were saying was basically, maybe it was a different vaccine that caused this, maybe it was genetics or something, nobody knows, because the health officials in Trinidad couldn't track down this alleged incident. So that makes it, you know, suspect. And also, I understand why Nikki's getting defensive, because I like to look at these types of situations from both perspectives. I like to have a POV from everyone to understand, you know, why one person sees something this way, why, you know, Nikki's, you know, this feeling this. But I'm sure Nikki now feels attacked in the fact that, you know, the press is not being, has not taken her too kindly. She's obviously getting defensive and therefore, you know, putting out tweets and information that might seem harsh. But I say all this to say, just get your vaccine, because we want everybody to be safe. And I mean, that is, of course, unless your medical professional says you cannot receive the vaccine, in which case then well done. But I still love Nicki Minaj, and I think she's an icon. I think she's going to bounce back from this. I don't think she's being canceled. I just think people are probably taking umbrage with the fact that she is putting, you know how like on an Instagram post, if you post something these days, like pertaining to the vaccine, it puts a little disclaimer. That's like, she's like that disclaimer, only she's spewing facts that are maybe not legitimate. Maybe. I said maybe, allegedly. But anyways, it's really crazy what's going on. It's like the late night host, Stephen Colbert, did something last night that was so funny. It was a play on one of her songs, but it was to like a different, obviously a different rapper, like talking about COVID. So it's interesting. Anyways, that's pretty much what the tea is on with our queen, Nicki Minaj. I'm sure the dust will settle, and you know, next week we'll be on to another scandal that's going on in the media. Hopefully the scandal will be about me one day, but like, because I'm so famous and recognizable, but like, we'll see. Okay, second story of the day has to do with another queen that I love, a Bravo queen, that is Bethany Frankel. Now this story is really, really juicy and salacious, so bear with me, because I have a huge opinion about this one. And this story is, of course, provided by Page Six. Bethany Frankel claims Tom Girardi, Erica Girardi's husband, well, now ex-husband, owed her late ex, Dennis Shields, you know, because Dennis unfortunately passed, $500,000. Whew. She's mentioning it all. Bethany Frankel claims she's known about Tom Girardi's financial woes for years as he allegedly... Oh, wait, one sec. Do you mind getting my drink, too, when you're done? Thanks. It's on the counter.
I'm parched.
Sorry, I'm just, like, so parched. Oh, sorry. If you... Like, I told you, there's, like, somebody in the background here. It's just, like, so... Don't you got it. Oh. This is so unprofessional, man. I just can't even handle myself. So, please hold. I'm going to have a sip of my drink, and then I'm going to talk. Hold on one sec. By the way, if you hear a little bit of air in the background, the AC is on, but it is way too hot to chit and chat without AC, so you're gonna have to deal with that. Okay. Oh, shoot, I lost the story. Okay, let me pull it up. Okay, let me start this again. She's mentioning it all. Bethany Frankel claims she's known about Tom Girardi's financial woes for years, as he allegedly owed her late ex, Dennis Shields, $500,000. The former Real Housewives of New York City star, 50, said during the latest episode of her Just Be with Bethany Frankel podcast on Thursday, yesterday, she met the disgraced lawyer, 82, at a lawyer's conference a few years ago. Wow, the world is so small. Frankel claimed she talked to Girardi at the time about how his then-wife, Erica Jane, was flaunting their wealth on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, bragging about everything from the $50,000 she'd spend on glam to owning two private jets. Quote, my experience is, especially with the housewives, if someone's flaunting their money, they don't really have it, Frankel said. I mean, she's not wrong there. I mean, Lisa Vanderpump is very, very wealthy. She didn't really flaunt her wealth. But come to think of it, Lisa didn't flaunt her wealth. Adrian Maloof, who's extremely wealthy, didn't flaunt her wealth. Bethany's a little, show-offy. Her jewelry and her Birkin bags. But I understand that because Bethany's newish money. She's a self-made woman. She's very proud of what she's accomplished. That's not throwing shade. That's, like, literally, I would do the same thing. Anyways, back to the article. After that meeting, Frankel claims Shields told her, Dennis, that Girardi owed him money. Quote, he owes me $500,000, Bethany claims, Shields told her. I know this other guy, he owes $1.5 million. He doesn't have the money. He owes everybody money. Oh, lordy lord. Frankel said she was confused about how Jane, 50, could fly around on private jets, to which Shields allegedly responded, quote, it's because he's using people's money to support her lifestyle. He's using the company's money to support her lifestyle. Oh, gosh. Per Frankel, Shields also allegedly said that Girardi's debt, quote, aggravates everybody, adding that then-powerhouse lawyer couldn't, quote, say no to Jane. Frankel claimed she discovered in May 2018 that Girardi's financial issues were the, quote, worst-kept secret in the Los Angeles lawyer's circles, adding, quote, it was a thing. That's just what happens. Things take a long time to come out, she said. They all knew about it. Oh my gosh, I'm literally quaking, and I really do wonder what Erica's going to respond to this, and I kind of actually do hope Erica responds to this, and I can't believe this is coming out after the reunion shot, but I feel like Bethany did that intentionally, because Bethany, knows Andy, and I'm sure he told her that he's going to LA to film the reunion, but I don't know. Anyways, Frankel went on to claim that she notified Andy Cohen. Oh, there we go. About Girardi and Jane's finances, shortly after her discovery. However, it wasn't until the news broke that the Bravo had allegedly told Frankel, holy shit, you really do know it all. If you know, that's a line, from the show. Bethany said that. I think she said it to, Hala. Who said that? Not Carol, but... What's her face? You know who I'm talking about. Anyways, you told me about this years ago. Quote, I knew about this since 2017, and all this came out in 2020, she added. Girardi's now disgraced firm, Girardi Keith, owes over $101 million in debt. Last November, he was sued by a class action law firm on behalf of the Lion Air Flight 610 victims who alleged he and his soon-to-be ex-wife had embezzled money through their sham divorce. In August, Jane was sued for $25 million by the trustee handling the bankruptcy case of Girardi's former law firm. She has been accused of spending the millions, allegedly giving her company EJ Global LLC and Girardi Keith on her American Express bill, assistance, and glam squad, among other expenses. All right, so a lot to break down here. I mean, I don't think Bethany's lying. I don't think Bethany Frankel is saying this just to get a headline, even though I know for a fact that she knew this would probably get some traction in the news, which is totally understandable. But I mean, I think in a way it's very classy that Bethany didn't speak on this before. I think it's, I think it's right that she went to Andy Cohen and reported this information because I don't think Bethany is claiming ownership over the franchise by, running to Andy Cohen saying, hey, this wife is doing this. You should watch out. You shouldn't, whatever. But I think she probably just wants to, look out for her fellow castmates. I know she knows Kyle very well. But it is really interesting. And I don't, I'm actually, in a way, kind of sad this wasn't brought up at the reunion. I mean, again, we don't know, but this is a pretty salacious piece of gossip and something that I am very intrigued by, and I really do hope Erica responds, because either Erica's going to be savage and, you know, whatever. Also, Bethany was in an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when all the girls were in the Hamptons for something. I don't remember what, but they were at Bethany's house, and I remember Bethany meeting Erica. But it makes me think Bethany probably knew everything going on with Erica at that time that she met Erica, but she didn't bring it up on camera, and she could have caused a lot of drama, but she didn't, because I think Bethany's a class act gal, and that's why the housewives need her. But you know what? Bethany's living her best life, doing her own thing with Bryn, and you know, she's a free lady to enjoy her life, and yeah, but that was a really good story. I literally screamed when I read that. Okay, third. I'm sorry. Oh, next story. Following that, actually, speaking of Erica Jayne, also from Page Six, Erica Jayne reacts to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cast laughing at unbelievable Tom Girardi stories. The How Many F's singer, okay. Erica Jayne was bummed to watch Kyle Richards, Dory Clemzy, and their husbands laughing at her unbelievable stories about estranged spouse Tom Girardi on Wednesday's episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Quote, felt great watching this, Jayne 50 tweeted with a sad face emoji in response to a fan who shared images of the foursome cracking up together because there was an iconic dinner between Mauricio, PK, Dorit, and Kyle in which they were talking about how Tom's house was robbed and Erica's son, who was an officer, came to help him, but Erica's son, his car flipped over a few times and then Tom got hurt or punched in the eye and ended up in the hospital, but then the doctor allegedly said, you know, Tom's passed out, what, you know, we need to work on him. So Erica said, you should work on his ankle. And then PK was like, no, Erica, his wife, this is them at the time, told the doctor he should fix his ankle, not his mind, not wake him up out of, you know, being passed out. So yeah, it's just, you know, PK isn't buying, I think, a lot of what Erica's saying, but he did make a really good point in that Erica was in a very controlling relationship, so I totally understand where he was coming from there. But then, you know, Mauricio was laughing, Kyle obviously couldn't help herself but laugh, and Dorit was laughing, so Erica obviously saw the episode because Erica, you know, was watching the show, and I feel like all the women have to watch the show in order to do, like, press and whatnot. And I do, I am looking forward to see her reaction at the reunion with this clip being brought up, which I'm sure it will be. So yeah, oh my gosh, Erica Jayne, the Erica Jayne of it all, y'all. It's crazy. Okay, and this brings us to our fourth and final story of the day, which is really, really, really sad, but it's somebody who I actually really love and really, really support, and I actually do worry about, and this is from TMZ, Wendy Williams. How you doing, our queen, Wendy Williams? Hospitalized for psychiatric evaluation. Show premiere delayed. Wendy Williams was taken to the hospital for a psychiatric evaluation one day before it was announced that the new season of her show would be delayed due to COVID issues, TMZ has learned. Sources close to Wendy tell TMZ the talk show host was voluntarily admitted to an NYC hospital Tuesday, so 3 days ago, for a psych evaluation. TMZ sources say that Wendy has struggled with mental health issues for some time, so this was not a big shock. That's really, really sad. On top of that, Wendy does have COVID, but she's asymptomatic, and the doctors continue to monitor her physical health as well. Well, that's good. Wendy's probably vaccinated, so, you know, she isn't suffering the horror that COVID can, you know, potentially put someone through who isn't vaccinated. It's uncertain when she'll be released, but TMZ is told that her mental health continues to improve each day, and TMZ sources say her COVID is still in check with no real symptoms. Wendy's 13th season was set to premiere on September 20th, but that's been pushed to October 4th. However, last week producers revealed that she was dealing with ongoing health issues and would not be able to make it to promotional activities as she was being evaluated. I mean, first and foremost, I want to say I wish Wendy a successful recovery, health, love, and all, you know, all the best wishes in the world. It's tough. You know, Wendy's been through a lot. She got divorced. Her husband's mistress had a baby. Her mother passed away. Wendy, I read another article, I think this was on Page Six, that Wendy was living alone. So that's, you know, taking a number toll on her. You know, she doesn't have many friends. But how can Page Six know that? I don't believe that. I don't know what Wendy's dating life is like, but I'm sure, you know, she's a lot going on. She's literally carrying the world on her shoulders. She has her son just turned 21, young Kev. So I'm sure Wendy's really dealing with a lot. And, you know, life can be really difficult and different people cope in different ways. And I know Wendy's so good at her job. She's a maestro of talk, daytime talk, and, you know, being scandalous and hilarious. And, you know, how you doing, Wendy? But I sent her, you know, my best wishes, and I hope she recovers, and I can't wait to see her back on my screen because I love her, and I can't live without Wendy. By the way, Ellen is back too, and I watched Jennifer Aniston on Ellen, and it was fabulous, and Kim was on Ellen, which is great. It's great to see Ellen back for her final season, 19th season, and yeah. But anyways, yeah, there's between Nikki, Wendy, Erica, Dorit, Kyle, all of it. It's crazy. It's mayhem. It's madness. Anyways, you guys, thank you so much as always for tuning in. I'm Andrew Devitri, the Minister of Pop Culture. Have a fabulous weekend. Stay safe. You know where to stream my podcast. I don't have to preach to you. Thank you so much, and I'll be back Monday with some great stories. Bye.